book of Luke, 3rd chapter, 21st verse. It's a good passage to look at. Why? Because we just saw one of our own being baptized today. And the Bible says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. In other words, baptized is public declaration, public affirmation that, God, I love you. For you, I live, and for you, I die. Buried with you, you know, baptized with you, and resurrected with you, God. And thank you, God, that you're coming again for us. So he was himself said, I want to be baptized. So he went to the Jordan River, baptized by John, and says, and while he prayed, so when he was being baptized, he was praying. Isn't that a good thing? And when you're praying, the Bible says something amazing happened. You know you have connection if you pray while you're being baptized, and heaven opens when you pray. How many know that? Now, that's hearing somebody's prayer. He's getting ready to get baptized and say, God, why don't you just open heaven? God says, bam. Heaven opens. And what happens? The Bible says in the 22nd verse, he says here, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form. In other words, people could see this thing like a dove upon him, being him, capital him, meaning Jesus. And a voice came from heaven which said, help me out. It said, you are. Now, y'all didn't sound like heaven. Let me give you one more time. A voice came from heaven. It was from God. And it says, and this is what it said. It says, help me out. You are beloved son. In you. Y'all sounded like heaven then. Can I let you know that it's amazing to hear from heaven in such a way that he affirms you in such a way, and you're getting ready to start public ministry? How many know this will put some running in your feet? If the Father himself says, this is my beloved son, and I'm well pleased. I want you to pray with me as we take a subject, finding freedom even when tested. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for every born-again believer that's here. And thank you for the ones that are thinking about giving their hearts to you. I thank you, God, for those that are watching via television. May you speak to their hearts in an amazing way. And they have a question. So, God, just baby steps toward you. That's okay. So, Father, I pray right now for the one that's right now watching on television. So I pray that you strengthen him, strengthen her in the name of Jesus. May they hear a word. Father, may you do something amazing, not only in this building, but wherever this word is spoken. Father, we give you praise and glory. And it's in Jesus' name that we decree it and declare it. And those that agree with that prayer, why don't you give them a good hand praise right where you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when I look at this passage, you know, we've got several two-year-olds and three-year-olds in our house. And man, I love them all. I've got five grandchildren. And we got a message this morning before I was even out of bed. You hear the phone, you know, makes a noise. And then I hear Jita said, says Wayne, guess what? I just got a text. Camille went to the pot for the first time. I said it right, Camille, right? And we're like, oh, by herself. And she's only two, right? One. Oh, man, that's really a shout. Hallelujah. Woo! That's what's up, I'm telling you. I remember, that's a big deal to our children. We're celebrating anything. I mean, you graduate, you move forward, we want to celebrate you. And I remember quite a few years ago, one of DC's sons, because they're like ours too, and DC and Gerard helped raise ours, and now they're growing up. It's amazing how God uses the church to come together to be a blessing to one another. But I remember it was Trenton. I got it right? It was Trenton. Trenton came in. He was about two or three, and he came in to church. He was happy, had a smile on his face. He came in. He said, hey, Sister Gita, I was watching him, getting her attention. Sister Gita, he said, I boo-booed in the pot. We took a minute and said, you what? I boo-booed in the pot. Once I figured out, I said, yes, 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 yes. I mean, we just celebrate our children. Celebrate their accomplishments. Let them know they're doing well and that they're making progress. And when I look at the scripture, you say, Pastor, how does this come to this movement? But first of all, we're going to be celebrating our children next week. So we're going to be saying yes, yes. But secondly, there was something that happened in this passage that the Bible says that God the Father himself saw his son taking a step. And the Bible said that the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved son, and you am I well pleased." In other words, yeah. That's what he's saying. He is like saying, you're taking that step. We need you to take that step. That's what you showed up to do anyway. Yeah, and I think we need to be so bold with our praise. We need to be so bodacious with our appreciation for God and for each other. Can I get a good amen in the house? Hallelujah in this house. So my thing is this, is that Jesus himself affirmed his son. Here's my thing. I believe that many of us mess up because we don't affirm our children enough. We don't tell our children what we feel about them. We don't encourage them enough. We don't bless them enough. We don't speak over their lives, speak blessings over their lives enough. And if there's one thing that I want to be totally guilty of, is prophesying and speaking blessings over people around me in their life. They get enough of the other stuff. Can I get a witness? They hear all the negative, you're not this, you'll never amount to anything, that you don't look as pretty as this. With all that foolishness, they need someone to speak into their life and speak what thus said the Lord over their life. Can I get a good amen in this house? Somebody give him a good praise. He's worthy of it. So when I think of this passage and think about the send-off that God gives his son, it just blesses me. And I see several things that we need to grasp from God's example. What is that? God says to him, you know, first he makes a public declaration. It's okay for us to publicly say, you know, and he goes, heaven opens, and he says, you are my beloved son. You see what it's publicly he's declaring? Our children need to be publicly declared. Publicly, we need to tell them aloud, you are my son. Now, also, not only does he say you are my son, but you are my beloved son. In other words, I love you, boy. So you are my beloved son. And now when it says son, I don't want to eliminate any girls in the house. You too need to recognize that God publicly declares that you are his beloved daughter. And man, we need to hear it. I don't care. Some say, well, I'm just fine. I don't need nobody to say nothing about me. I'm straight. You lying. Everybody on an occasion needs someone to say something encouraging to them. I'm preaching, Ben, you amen. All of us need encouragement. I need encouragement on occasions. Encourage me. Come on. No, I'm playing. Kind of. But I... messing with you all, but here's what he says. This voice comes from heaven and said, you are my beloved son. In other words, you're my son that I love. Not just my son, but you're my son that I love. And so many people need to hear this because there are too many children that their dads won't even acknowledge them. I'm preaching whether you saying amen or not. There are too many families that say, well, I don't know if he's mine. Why? Because I don't want to take care of him. Dummy, do you know if God bless that child to get on the scene, God can raise that child, use that child for his kingdom, and he'd be a blessing not only to you, but to the world. Somebody say amen in this house. I don't want to claim him. I don't know if he is mine. If you won't claim him, we will. Praise God. You won't claim him, we will. Somebody give God a real big praise in this house. Man, oh man. That's why the Bible says that God says, I'll be a father to the fatherless. Every son needs to be affirmed. And let me just say it right, but just before I go to that point. He says, you are my beloved son. And he says, in you I am well please. In other words, you bring me great joy. And can I let you know, folks, that it's not based upon what you do that brings me great joy. You bring me great joy just because you're my son. Not because you did something. Not because you earned it. And can I let you know, folks, when I look at my grandchildren, they haven't done it. What can they do? I could say some things. But what can they do to, like, they hug you, they love you. That's amazing. But I love them just because. God looks at us, and it's not because we do something that he loves us, but he loves us just because. Will you do me a favor and say, I'm loved just because. So you need to recognize that you don't have to try to make God love you, because he can't love you anymore. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Isn't that good to know? Give him a shout right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You are my beloved son, so we need to publicly affirm our children. I want to challenge many of you all to do that this week, and some of you need to do it today. That means open your mouth and say, that's my boy. That's my boy. I don't care how old they are. I tell Gary sometimes, you know, he big as he is, big and strong as he is. I said, that's my boy. I do. Ain't nothing strange about me. I'm just saying, you know, I love them. And some of my girls, I speak over their lives too. And they need to hear it. I prophesy over their lives and tell them how beautiful they are. And never been accused of anything, and my heart is totally pure. But they need to hear it. They don't need to hear it for the first time from somebody that's trying to get with them. They need to just bless them. Platonic relationship, just tell you, hey, you're a blessing. Thank you, God. Anybody glad they came today? Hallelujah. You are my beloved son, and in you I find great joy. Well, please, I find great joy. In other words, just, you know, have you ever woke up, this happened to me once, I said talk about this morning, I got to move on. But when I was a kid, a child, you know, younger, I would wake up sometimes, and my mom would be just looking at me. You woke up and say, oh! You think like, what you doing? She said, I'm just looking at you. I'm thinking like, you got to be kidding me. You all right? As bad as I've been, and you still just looking at me like you want to just eat me up? Can I let you know that God looks at us because we're the apple of his eye? And sometimes you wake up, and I know God is just saying, those are my children. I want you to know that God loves you with there's no greater love, the love that God has for us. And when you know that, you'll begin to change your life. Here's my first point. Every child of God is affirmed. Every child of God is affirmed. Say it with me, I'm affirmed. And folks, you need to hear that. Jesus was affirmed, no doubt about it, in the book of Luke and 3 and 22. But there's also some other passages that we'll look at today. And what does affirmation mean? You know, let me share with you. The word affirm, it means to state as a fact, to assert, to strongly and publicly declare. It means, another synonym is to assert, to proclaim, to pronounce, to attest, to swear, to avow, to guarantee, to promise, to certify, to pledge. And when I listen at these words, you know, we need affirmation, because affirmation does something to our hearts. And cursing does something to our hearts too. They can either bless you or they can curse you. It comes from the same mouth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You can deny a person or you can affirm a person. And I think that God, I know God wants us to affirm. He wants us to receive the affirmation from him, because even Joshua, the great warrior, you know, getting ready to go to Jericho, before he went, guess what God says to him? He says, just like I was with Moses, Joshua, guess what? I'm going to be with you. Isn't that something? Joshua received that affirmation. If Joshua received it, if Jesus received it, you need to receive it as well. And if people are not affirming you as what God said about you, you need to recognize that that might not be the person that God has put in your life. If they're killing you instead of giving you life, you may need to rethink your friendships. I'm saying a word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because God looks at us, and he doesn't look at us in our mistakes and our issues that we've done, but man, he looks at us through the eyes of Jesus and through the blood of Jesus. And that just blesses me and gives me praise and great knowledge. Now, Romans 8 and 16, it says, For his spirit, joins with our spirit to do what? To affirm that we are Sometimes we don't always feel like God's children. But the Bible says that the Holy Spirit affirms with or joins with our spirit to affirm the very fact that we are God's children. Say it one more time. I am a child of God. Say it with a little attitude. I am a child of God. It's important that we recognize that over and over again. And here's why. You know, being a child of God establishes identity. And identity comes from the Father. And let me just take this to my next point. Our identity is in God, our Father, through Christ. Our identity, who I am, is not based upon my hair color, not based upon, you know, how tall I am, how good looking I am. It's not based upon it. A lot of people's identity is based upon how much money they have, what side of town they live on, what they driving. Oh, hey, we rolling on 22s. We making it rain. Make it rain. Y'all, older folk don't know what make it rain mean. But better move on. Hallelujah. Some of y'all thinking about the party you was at. Hey, you're right. Our identity is in God, our Father, through Christ, not your stuff, not your education, not your title, not your position. My identity is not the pastor. My identity is a child of God. Thank you, Jesus. My identity is not the fact that we have whatever. No, my identity is I'm a child of God. If I keep my identity straight, the rest of the stuff is going to work out. You get that right. Because even after, you know, they might say, I'm going to fire him. But even after you fire me, if I know who I am, I'm going to be all right. Somebody say amen in this house. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Some people's identity is in a man or a woman. I'm with her, you know, like, hey, this is my girl. So he must be bad. How'd he pull her? I'm just saying. So you know, some women are like, what would you say? Like trophies on your arm. If you got her on your arm, you know, and she could, you know, play a part in the music video, you know, it's like, wow, she bad. How did you, man, you bad, you know, you must be. But if she tell you, you know, see you later, you know, jump out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Stan. No need to be core, Roy, but you got to get up out of here. But the thing is that if you know who you are, if you know your identity, you won't be broken. And y'all got to get this. Sister, if your identity is in him and only through, well, you know who I'm dating, you know, he the most popular dude at school. So what? Because if he's popular, that means a lot of people are looking at him. And you popular this week, but he may want a different flavor next week. And if he does that mean that you're going to lose your identity, lose yourself? Oh, Pastor, you got to pray for me because he left me. Good. Y'all do not like me. I better move on. Our identity is in what? God, our Father. Let me give a scenario. I was in Chicago. My dad took me to see his uncle, and we happened to be in, it was kind of, I won't say hood, but it was pretty close. The guys was on the porch. They was there, some girls, and they asked me, because my dad went and talked to his brother. He says, the guys on the front porch, they was talking. He said, everybody here from Chicago but you. And I'm thinking like, yeah. And he said, where you from? I said, Springfield. And he goes on and says, all of us on this porch are Dawsons but you. Then I said, well, no, I'm a Doss too. He said, no, you're not. We ain't seen you before. Look at that, I thought I was going to have to get big, you know. And then by that time my dad comes back, I said, that's my dad. And he said, his name is Dawson, my name is Dawson. I said, like, Dad, tell him. And they said, is he a Doss? And my dad said, yes, he's a Doss. And then I stuck my chest out and said, yeah, I'm a Doss too. Do you know the same thing happens in the spirit realm? The devil tells you, you're not a son of God. God says, that's my son. I died for him. I bled for him. And I rose again through Jesus Christ. And they are a son. And who the son sets free is free. And don't touch him. Do me a shout. Say, I am a son of God. Do you believe that? Here's what the scripture says in the book of Romans 8 and 14. It says, for those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are. We are children of God. Why? Because we're led by the Spirit of God. Our simple faith in Christ Jesus, that we're no longer like we used to be. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. And behold, what? All things have become new. I'm not who I used to be. I may have been born into poverty, but that's not who I am. I may have been born to people that didn't love God, but that's not who I am. Glory to your name. I may used to do tricks on the corner, but that's not who I am. Used to be in a gang, perhaps, but that's not who I am. I am a new creation. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Somebody give him one more praise. He's God. Thank you, Jesus. There's another scripture in the 15th verse. It says, so you have not received the spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him what? Man, I love that passage. We can call him Daddy God now. Abba or Daddy God. You hear somebody praying, you know, our Father or Abba or Daddy God. A dear God, we have that relationship with you, God. That's why when he says, teach us how to pray, Jesus starts out by saying, start off by saying, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad to be a child of God? Come on, give him one more praise. He's God. Thank you, Lord. My next point is this. We must know who we are, and this is important, because our identity will be tested. Say it with me, my identity will be tested. And if there's one thing that I believe that the enemy is stealing from many of the young people and old as well, is their identity. He's guilty, the enemy is guilty of identity theft. To tell you you're not who God says you are. You can't have what God says you have. That's why every day that I think about it, almost every day, I look in the mirror and say, I am who God says I am. That deals with my identity. I have what God says I have. And I can do what God says I can do. It's not just in my head, it's in my heart. And I walk in that very truth. Why? Because you will be tested. Why will you be tested? Well, let's look at Jesus, how he was tested. The Bible says in Luke 4 and 1, it says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, thank God he was filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan. Well, what happened at Jordan? He was baptized at the Jordan River and was led by the Spirit. Make sure you underline that if you got a real Bible. If you have like an iPad, you can highlight it. That he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Second verse, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. Did you see that in your Bible? Can I let you know you're going to be tested? You have to know who you are because you're going to be tested. You are going to be tested. And even by, got quiet, and I'm in the test right now section. How did you know, preacher? Look what it says. It says, and those days he ate nothing, and afterwards when he had ended, was hungry. And the devil said to him, what did the devil say to him? If you are the Son of God, command this to be. Y'all just playing with y'all, ain't talking loud. That's okay, that's okay. That's okay, that's okay. That's all right, that's all right. He said, if you are the Son of God, can I share this with you, this truth? The first temptation after or in the wilderness was not turn these stones to bread. So, well, Pastor, we see it right there. No, command this stone to be bread. No, the first temptation was, if you are the Son of God. I said, Pastor, how could that be? Can I let you know, folks, that if you don't know who you are, you'll be doing a whole lot of stuff to prove who you are needlessly. So the issue is, the hunger is not the issue. If he went 40 days and God could take him farther. But can I let you know that the issue was not turn these stones to bread. The issue was, and the challenge was, if you are the Son of God. Did you all get that? My God, hallelujah in this place. I wish I could preach it like I feel it. Because oftentimes we think that, you know, that this man is the problem or this woman is the problem, and if they was just with me, it'd be all fixed, and because they left. No, that's not the problem. If you knew your identity, you wouldn't allow that stuff to mess with you. Are you with me today? Oh, man, I'm preaching today. The devil said to him, the first, what do you say to him first? If you are the Son of God. Oh, if you are the Son of God. Let me ask you a question. How many of you all are ever messed up? And the enemy says, well, you're supposed to be saved. You're supposed to be saved. Went to church Sunday too, uh-huh. Had your hand, little hand up in the air. Man, devil can talk some noise, can't I? And then the worst thing in the world for you to start responding, well, I am. Don't even waste your breath. You know that you are because you know who your daddy is. You don't have to prove. Let me move on. Oh, I got to move on. But some folks, they struggle with, you know, this dude said, well, if you love me, prove it. Got quiet in the house. You know, you don't have to prove anything to anybody. If you a man, prove it. Wait, what's up with that stuff? You know, no, I am who I am, not because I do something for you or I show you anything, but I am who I am because of who I'm identified with. I'm identified with my Father, God. So therefore, I am who He says I am. Somebody give God a praise in this house. The devil came to him twice with the same question in Luke 4 and 3 and also in Luke 9. And he says to him the same thing, if you are the Son of God. Look at this passage. They have it there. If you are the Son of God, then throw yourself down from here. Always questioning his identity. Can I let you know, if you don't get anything else out of this today, but make sure you know who you are. Know whose you are. When you lay hands on the sick, it's not because of you, it's because who you are identified with. And I'm identified with God the Father, and He's on the inside of me. I in Him and Him in me, and we make the difference. Are you with me today? He backs everything that you say, everything that you do. Why? Because you are His and He is yours. Let me share this with you. I think we're on maybe point number 4. Can I let you know that some tests are necessary? Witness to a neighbor and say, neighbor, some tests are necessary. And anybody in a test right now? Could that test be necessary? Oh, hallelujah. Can I share this with you? Is that, you know, when a test comes, you know, one of the first things that I want to do, just so you know, I want to say, first of all, God, you know, before I tell you, let me do this. Here's a necessary test. I came in today and I was pulling into the parking lot, and I was trying to get around a car, and I'm thinking like this person. I wanted do they have any license? So driver's test. Are necessary. Now, some folks, they really need to go back. Sears used to give driver's license. Sears don't do that no more, but maybe Walmart needs to start. Hallelujah. But you ever drove behind somebody and said, did they have license? Another test, you know, you're wiring your house. You don't want sparks going on, so electricians need tests. And I know I took an 8-hour test some years ago back in the day. And there's some other folks, because you don't want sparks flying in your house. You plug something in and it blow up. You know, you don't want that. You know, there's some more people that need a test. The anesthesiologist needs a test. And think about it. You go into the hospital, you know, you need to go to sleep. Somebody comes in and you don't know them. And they have the little bottles and all the little stuff that they stick you all up with and run the little tubes and stuff. And what if you ask them, hey, have you been tested for this? Oh, no, I ain't been tested. I'm just trying you out. Trying out on you. Oh, no, no, no. No, 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 no. Go back and show me you've been tested. Hello, hallelujah. I've been working with doctors now for probably about 24 years. The first year, I remember the first doctor, his name was Douglas Bowler. He said, Pastor, I want you to pray for me, and because these tests are difficult. I'm like saying, but go through, brother. You know, go through. Why? We want you to get all the testing done because you might be operating on me one day. So I'm not going to say just dodge the test. No, you need to take the test and learn. Hallelujah. I ain't saying, oh, just pass him. No, don't just pass him. Don't just pass it. I remember when I took my motorcycle test and went to the DMV. Is that what you call it? It was the one down there where you go around the cones and stuff. I'm not that good of a motorcycle rider. In fact, I'm not good at all. And I had a red Honda. I went to take the test in. And I remember, like, they said, you know, go around the cones and come back. And for whatever reason, I went around the first one, and then the throttle on this hand got stuck, and I just started going fast. I was trying to let it go, and then I saw a fence and a car ahead of me, and I started weaving, and I fell down on the thing. It drug me into the fence. Man, man, I got up. I was bleeding, and the lady that was looking, she was like, oh, no, I done hurt the pastor. Oh, no. But I am just saying, I didn't want them just pass me. You want me on the highway with no. I was feeling it one day, and Jita came. I was feeling myself. I just saw, you know, a little motorcycle thing on TV. I said, Jita, why don't you get on with me? She said, oh, no. Oh, no. Pilots also need tests. You don't want to get on the plane. You've been tested. Oh, no, I'm going to test today on you. No, no, no. You know, they even test. I wrote it down. They even test. I reached in my pocket, and man, they even test your clothes. Tested and inspected by number three. They test your underwear. I don't know who had them on before you did, but somebody tested them. Look at the thing. It says test it and inspect it. Now, look what the Bible says about testing. 1 Peter 1:7. And I love this passage. It says, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. In other words, they got to go through the test, because if they don't go through the test, how can we know that you're ready to be put out to public ministry? Are you with me? It is being tested as fire. Why? You got to go through the fire. Because something about the fire, it purifies. Says, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, not just a few, many trials. Some of us are going through some trials right now, but you've got to go through it. If your underwear needed testing, so do you. If the pilot needs to go through tests, so do you. If your suit had to be go through a test, you got to go through something too. If you had to go through something on your driver's license, you're going to have to go through something too. But when God gets through with you, you're going to come out with fire, with power. Somebody give him a praise in this house. Give him a real good praise in this house. He is God. But some people say, I don't want to go through the test. I don't want to go through the test. Anybody else beside me that don't want to go through the test? I don't want to go there. I just want to go straight to the promise. Take me straight to the promise. And when I'm in a test, I'm always like, well, Lord, why we got to go through this? Lord, why we got to? Lord, I'm just tired. People bother me talking about. That's part of the test. If you don't do it right, guess what? You're going to have to come by it again. Some of y'all have been by the same one several times. Well, well. But can I share this with you? Is that, hallelujah, that the Spirit will not lead you into a test that you can't win. Yes. The Bible said that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be. And I know many people jump over that because they don't want to deal with it. Because you say, well, God would never lead you to it. God didn't test him, but he led him to the wilderness to be tested. Thank you, God. Why did he need to be tested? Because, you know, Jesus shortly thereafter was going to run into something that he needed to know who he was. And if I could, you know, maybe share this with you like this, you know, the test that you're in the midst of right now, you know, if the Holy Spirit led you into it, you can win. That's why my first question when I'm in the midst of something, I'll say, God, number one, you know, is this you? Because if this is not you, I ain't trying to do it. Amen. If this is you, if it's you, I'm okay. That's why I only want to, you only want to marry the one that you're supposed to. Because if it's not God, oh God, man, I better move on. Because if it's not your will, why am I going to try to force something? You know, I only want to pastor the church that you've called me to pastor. That because if it's not, man, they're going to be kicking me out, throwing stuff at me, waiting for me after church. I only want to do it first. If it's you, if it's not you, and I know it's not you, you need to run. Get away from it. And then I come to this point. God, if this is you, then tell me what I'm supposed to learn. Because obviously there's something in it. Have you ever been in a situation you say, God, evidently there's something I'm supposed to learn. I was in one other day, I was like, God, you know what? Yeah, I see what you want me to learn, and I'm going to get it right this time. I'm going to keep my focus on you. I'm going to get it right. I've messed up before and didn't have heart, but today I'm saying yes to your will. I'm going to do it. I know it's, and it's not always easy. You got to stand your ground and say, I'm doing this because God said it. Other folks won't understand, but if God said it, they don't have to understand it. Are you with me today? One more big praise for God. He's good. Can I share this on this note? I wish I had wrote it down, but perhaps you can grasp it or get a copy of the message. But you will never know the strength of God's promise until you find the strength or see the strength of that promise's opposition. Hallelujah. Let me explain that. Hallelujah. Y'all still with me, right? Lean in just for 1 minute. God gives you a promise and says that you're healed. And it's only when the doctor looked at my report and said, man, your heart's only beating 20%. You're going to be on medicine the rest of your life. You'll have to have a pacemaker and a defibrillator jacket, and you may have to have a heart transplant. Now, on one side, I've got the promise of God. And on the other side, I've got total opposition. And I said, God, either your word is right or this word is right. It is not till this rises up, till my faith begins to rise up. I begin to say, God, guess what? I know how big your word is because I know what the opposition said. But guess what? By your stripes, I'm healed. And I walk in victory. Somebody give God a praise. In this place, give him a praise. He's God. Stand on your feet. I gotta let you go. Give him a break. He's God. I said, bless him in this house. He's God. Woo. Because after he's been the bridge over troubled water, don't nobody have to tell you nothing. It's like, hey. No, he brought me through before. He opened doors before, made ways before. I was broke before, and God stepped in, and he always made a way. Woo! I'm okay. Thank you, God. Just the victory belongs to Jesus. That's the only part. The victory belongs to Jesus. There you go. Victory belongs to him. How many of y'all know victory belongs to Jesus? Hallelujah. Victory belongs to Jesus. Let me get this last point. Bring it down just a little bit. This last point is this. Every child of God wins through their faith. Just want to make sure you know that. Take that home with you. Yeah, God would not, Holy Spirit would not lead me to a place of temptation that I wasn't equipped and didn't have the heart to win. Why? Because every child of God wins through their faith in God. Look at this verse, last verse. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this, how? This victory through our. So what do you have to do? I have to keep my eyes, my mind upon him. God, your will be done. Your purpose, your plan. Now, can I tell you this? I'm done. I'm really done this time. I'm turning this off. Man, hallelujah. Man, somebody's placing a demand upon the anointing today. I feel it. There's someone like pulling in, and I mean like tugging, because like their life depends upon it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So what has to happen is this, is when the enemy begins to talk noise and begins to say, if you are, then why this, why that? You don't have to answer the devil. The worst thing in the world is doing things on the devil's agenda. He told Jesus, if you be the Son of God, then do this. Jesus said, I ain't studying you. Paraphrasing. You don't have to answer him. Don't have to try to prove anything. Why? Because you know who you are. Thank you, God.